with you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, and I want to read verses 36 through 38 tonight. Luke chapter 2, verses 36, 37, and 38. This is the concluding message in the series on the family, which I have been bringing, and I have tried to cover the territory. I have tried to bring some messages related to young people. I've talked about family, child rearing, and these kinds of areas. And it really wouldn't be complete if you didn't deal with the matter of aging. And so I'm going to bring a message tonight which I have titled, Grow Old Along With Me. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, that is, when the Lord had been brought in as a baby, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There are about 5 stages in family life which sociologists have isolated for us. There is, first of all, the family founding stage. That's the stage when a couple meets one another, they fall in love, they have a courtship period of time, and then they get married and they found their family. Stage number 1 is the founding stage. Stage number 2 is childbearing stage. That's the time when the little children are born into the family. Stage number 3 is child rearing. Those are the years when you go through the bringing up your boys and girls and taking them from the land of childhood into the land of adulthood. The 4th stage is the child launching stage. That's that period of time when you prepare them to go out on their own, and so the strings are cut and you launch them out into life. The 5th stage, the final stage, is known as the empty nest. This is the time when the couple are right back where they were when they all began, husband and wife. The children have been reared, they're on their own now, and mother and father, husband and wife, are alone together again. This stage is a very crucial stage in the life of an individual. You might be surprised to know how many divorces occur during this particular period of time. There are marriages that are held together primarily by external considerations. There are artificial bonds that keep families together during many of the years of the bringing up of the children. And so when the children leave, those bonds are no longer there. And often and tragically, families, couples break up during this particular period of time. So it is a crisis time. It's a crisis time in the life of many men. Sometimes during this particular stage of life, a man feels called upon to prove his masculinity and to prove that he's still a man. And so extramarital affairs take place, and these kinds of things go on in this particular period of life if you're not very careful. So it is a time of crisis. But it is also a time of unusual and out of the ordinary adjustments. When people come to the empty nest stage of life, they begin to have to make adjustments. For instance, you have to adjust to the matter of diminishing physical vigor and strength. You find that you're just not quite as strong as you used to be, and you require greater periods of rest than you used to require. So this is a period of time when you have to make those kinds of physical adjustments. And it's very difficult on a lot of people to do this. Most of us want to feel that we're just a teenage boy still and can do everything we've been able to do. But normally this is not true, because these years are the years of diminishing physical strength and stamina. There are also years when you have to think in terms of retirement. And you begin to look toward the period of retirement. I have a friend of mine, an old preacher friend of mine, who is retired. And he said, retired means that you're tired today and you're tired again tomorrow. There are probably some who can identify with that statement of his tonight. But it is the time when you begin to contemplate retirement and when you begin to make preparation for retirement. It is also a time when very often you have to make different adjustments concerning your physical arrangements in terms of where you're going to live. Some couples decide they don't want to live in the house they've been in. They like to live in a smaller house. There are still others who break up housekeeping and they move into a home somewhere. And so you see, these are years when adjustments out of the ordinary begin to take place. But they're also tremendous years of opportunity. I believe that the last years of a person's life can be the greatest years in all of their life. You don't have to dread those years. Instead of years of gloom, they can be years of glory. Instead of years of disaster, they can be years of delight. I suppose you've all heard this poem, "Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in his hands who saith, a whole I planned, youth shows but half, trust God, see all, nor be afraid." That's a beautiful, beautiful statement of the positive aspects of aging and living and serving the Lord in the latter years of your life. Now, I have read tonight in the Scriptures about a dear saint of God whose name is Anna. And I want us to just use the example of Anna as an encouragement to all of us to face the years of aging with anticipation and with determination to live for the Lord and serve Jesus Christ as we've never served Him before. And so from the life of Anna, let's think for a little bit, first of all tonight, about the length of our life. The length of our life. We don't know exactly how old she is. It's a little bit difficult to really determine how old she was. I'm not sure if it means that she had been a widow 84 years, and I just can't put all the mathematics together in my mind. There are some people who believe that Anna was perhaps near 100 years of age. Well, whether she was 84 at this time or whether she was in her 90s, almost 100, the point is that she was an aging believer. She was an aging child of God. So she is a woman who has lived a long length of days. Now think for a moment about these days of aging. If you live long enough, you're going to get old. That's just the way life works. And the thing that is so amazing about the days of your life is that the older you get, the more rapidly those days occur. Now, when you're just a kid, when you're a teenager, sometimes those days seem to drag along very, very slowly. For instance, if you're about 15 and a half and you're wanting to get your driver's license, those 6 months become very, very long indeed. Or if you're a girl and your dad says you can date at 16 and you're about 15 and a half, it seems like 16 will never, ever get there. But I got news for you. As you get a little bit older in life, those months go by in a hurry. Those years go rapidly by. In fact, it's really kind of like rewinding a cassette tape. You're rewinding that cassette tape, and as you begin, it's a rather slow process. The bulk of the tape is over on this side of the tape, and it's winding over to this side. At the beginning of the process, it's a very slow and laborious kind of thing. But as the tape begins to increase over on this side of the cassette, you will discover that the process picks up, and it gets faster and faster and faster and faster. And so by the time you get to the end of the tape and you've completely rewound, it's moving at a very, very rapid pace. Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, that is just exactly the way the days of life are. For a person who is growing older, life becomes to him like a greasy string slipping through his hands. Life for a person who is growing older is like a runner who is running from another runner. As the race begins, he notices that the runner is far, far in the distance. So far, in fact, that he hardly even notices the presence of the other runner. But he discovers as the race continues on that the runner behind is gaining ground. And so the runner in front increases his pace as best he can, but he discovers that the other runner's getting closer and closer and closer. So finally, he's going just as fast as he can, and yet he discovers that that other runner is getting closer and closer and closer. Well, you see, you're the first runner, and death is the second runner. Death is on your trail. Death is coming right along behind you. And the older you get, the closer and closer the second runner, death, gets to you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the days of your life and this matter of being getting a little bit older from a positive point of view. I am afraid that in American culture, there are many people who have approached this whole matter of aging from a negative point of view. Our advertisements seem to be geared to trying to help a person minimize or to deny the fact of aging and to deny the fact that you're getting older. We have all kinds of products available now to try to help you not show your age as much. Oil of Olay. They've got oil of Olay. Now, I've never tried that, but it must be a wonder drug because, as I understand the advertisement, all you have to do is just put it on and all the wrinkles are gone. We've got some 70-year-old ladies sitting down here. They look 16, but they've been using oil of Olay. And there is a negative frame of mind about the process of aging, which approaches aging almost as if it is a punishment. Or almost as if it is something that is wrong. But I'm here to tell you tonight that this matter of aging can be a very wonderful and a very glorious experience. In fact, there are a lot of people who wouldn't go back through some of those early years for anything in the world. There are a lot of folks here tonight that wouldn't dare want to go back to the teenage years. They most certainly wouldn't want to go back to the young 20 years. They wouldn't want to go back to the 30s. There are some folks here tonight who've got a lot of years on them who would not think of going back because they have learned the secret of enjoying the length of their days. You see, to paraphrase an old cigarette commercial I used to hear, it's not how long you make it. It's how you make it long. Amen? It is not the length of the days that matters, but it is the quality of those days and how you approach those days. And so let me just encourage you tonight about the matter of aging and how to deal with aging. First thing you need to do is to accept the fact. Do not deny the fact that you're getting older. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, that's just a fact, and you had just as well accept it. And you'll be a lot better off if you just admit the fact, accept the fact, and move on from there. But the second thing I want to encourage you to do about the length of your days is to stay young at heart. Now, you can stay young in your heart. You see, you can have eternal spring bursting in your chest all of the time. I like the spirit of Sir Winston Churchill, who was having his picture made at the age of 80. And the photographer was a young guy who was taking his 80th year picture. And the young photographer said to him, he said, Sir Winston, he said, I would sure like to take your picture for your 100th birthday. And Sir Winston said, well, that would be fine with me, young man. You look healthy enough to me. You see, he was young at heart. And you can stay young at heart. You don't have to grow old and be bitter and be cantankerous. One of the things that I have been praying for many, many years, seriously, is that the Lord would help me if he allows me to live to be an old man, not to become a bitter old man. I don't want to be that way. Now, I've met some bitter old people before, have you? I mean, I've met some folks, brother, and they're bitter, and they're ugly, and they're unkind, and you just dread getting anywhere around them. You know anybody like that? I mean, you just even won't even get around them because you know they're going to have something acid to say. And they're going to be negative. I mean, if it's a pretty day, so what? It's going to be raining tomorrow. I mean, they just got a negative point of view. But, oh, friends, I'm praying that the Lord, if he allows me to live to be an old man, will help me to be a sweet man that people will want to be around, that people will be glad to see coming. Stay young in heart. And then, of course, I would say to you, stay useful and stay active. And I'll talk about that more in just a moment. And then I would encourage you, as you face the years of aging, to learn everything you can about eternity. I mean, to give yourself to a study of eternity. Because you see, friends, you and I have to be very interested in eternity. That's where we're going to spend the rest of our existence. Time is just a little blip on the screen compared to your eternal existence. You see, God created you a living soul, and the soul created by God never really dies. Now, when you die physically, that just simply means the separation of the soul from the body, but the soul is still very much alive. And out there in eternity, a man exists in only one of two locations. If a man dies in his sins, he exists eternally in a terrible place called hell. But if a man receives Jesus as his Savior and he dies, he goes to a wonderful place called heaven. And 10,000 years from now, you'll still be singing the praises of Jesus. And 10 billion, billions of years from now, you'll be praising God for His amazing, wonderful grace. So the length of life. Anna was an old lady. It tells us something about her days. But it also tells you something about life's dilemmas or life's disasters. You see, verse 37 says that she was a widow. In other words, she knew what it was to lose a husband and to live alone in life. There are dilemmas, there are difficulties that attach themselves to the aging process and to the latter years of your life. I've already touched on the fact of the physical limitations and declining health. Let me read you a few verses over in the book of Ecclesiastes which so graphically portray the physical declining that people experience in old age. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes 12 and following. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Now listen to it. What a description this is of declining physical strength. "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened," you see, vision is going, "nor the clouds return after the rain," the tendency to despondency, "in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble," you see, men are getting older now, but their body is beginning to tremble, "and the strong men shall bow themselves," strong men now, but physical declining is bowing them over, "and the grinders," that is the teeth, "cease because they're few." Now, that's before they had dentists and plates and all that kind of stuff, artificial teeth. And then it says, "and those that look out of the windows be darkened." Every time I read that verse, I think about my grandmother Vines, who lived right up the street from where we did, and she lived, I think, to be about 94 years of age. And I would be going back and forth when I was a teenage boy, and my grandmother Vines would sit on the porch there, and I would go by and I'd honk my horn at my grandmother, and then when I would see her maybe a day or so later, she'd say, "Was that you, Jerry, that came by?" And I'd say, "Yes, Grandmama." She said, "Well, I wasn't sure. I thought that was you, but I wasn't sure." "And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low," not hearing as well. "And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird." They have a tendency to wake up early. Now, I'm looking forward to that one. I've always had a hard time waking up in the morning. I believe in the resurrection because I experience one every day of my life. I get up early in the morning, but I do it with a lot of effort. I'm looking forward to arising at the voice of the bird. "And all the daughters of music shall be brought low." Verse 5, "also when they shall be afraid of that which is high." See? In the declining years, in the years of old age, you want to be very careful. You don't want to be getting up on ladders and high places. "And fears shall be in the way." Got to be very careful. Just one wrong step and you fall and maybe you've broken a hip. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, that's eternity, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. What a description of declining physical health. I ran across this I thought you might enjoy. Someone said this. He said, I can live with my arthritis. My dentures are just fine. My bifocals serve me well. Well, let me start over. See, this aging is really tough on you, I'm telling you. I can live with my arthritis. My dentures are just fine. My bifocals serve me well, but I sure do miss my mind. Oh, my. And then, of course, you see, there's another dilemma to the length of your days, and this is the matter of loneliness. Because, you see, if you live long enough, all of your loved ones will go on home, you see. And if you live long enough, all of your friends will be gone. And you will discover that a shift will take place. The population of those within the sphere of your existence will shift. And those friends of yours, you will discover, are more numerous over there than they are here. And you'll find out that you'll have more family over there than you'll over here. The population has a way of shifting. And you see, there are some sweet saints of God sitting in this building tonight. And when this service is over, they will go home. But they will go home into a house that is empty. There'll be no other human being there. And all they will have of family will be the memories of family that will speak to them from the pictures on the mantle. And they'll go into a lonely, empty house tonight, right by themselves. And oh, could I encourage some of you to be an encouragement to the elderly? You never know what just a kind word will mean to some older person. You never know what an encouragement it would be to just drop a little line or to just go by to see some elderly person. And I want to tell you what, friends, you're robbing yourself of a lot of blessings if you don't have some contact with elderly people. Some of the sweetest, dearest, deepest in the things of God, saints in the fellowship of First Baptist Church are elderly saints of God. But you see, those lonely years come in the length of your days. And then, of course, we have other things that come. There's the fear of death. And the reality of death gets more and more imminent. You know, the Lord showed me something a few years ago, though, that has been a real encouragement to me about this whole matter of facing death as a believer. Over in the book of Zechariah, I believe it is, it says, at the eventide it shall be light. And the promise there is that God will give you special light as you approach death, as you get nearer and nearer to it in the declining years. Well, let me just share with you something that happened a few years ago. I remember one morning, this was back before the days of Sweet and Low and NutraSweet and those kinds of things. I was having a morning cup of coffee. And so I sweetened my coffee and I was drinking it, but I noticed that it was unusually bitter. And I just thought to myself, my, this is very bitter coffee. But I'd already put the sugar in, so I didn't want to put any more in, and I just kept drinking it. It was kind of bitter. It wasn't a very pleasant cup to drink. But as I continued drinking that cup of coffee, the closer I got to the bottom of the cup, the sweeter my coffee got. Now, do you know the problem? I had put the sugar in the cup, but I had forgotten to stir it up. Now, the sweetness was there all along. I could have enjoyed the sweetness from the top of the cup all the way down. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly the way it can be with you when you face this, the reality of death in your life. You see, God has given promises to His child. And you see, friends, you can stir up the promises of God in your soul. And you can
thank the Lord and praise the Lord for what he's going to do for you in the hour of death, all the way through. And as you approach, it may get sweeter and sweeter, but if you'll stir up the promises in your soul, you'll experience that sweetness all along the way. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to face death with the promises of God. How wonderful it is for a child of God who's getting ready to die to be able to claim the promise. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thou comfortest me. Isn't it wonderful to have the promises of God about death? And so when we think about the matter of aging, we think about the length of life. Anna was a very old, old woman. But then secondly, we also think not only about the length of life, but we ought to think a little bit about the breadth of life. Because you see, life must be measured not only by its length, but also by its breadth. And as you look at the life of this believer, Anna, you will discover that there was tremendous breadth in her life. For instance, the scripture here indicates to me that she lived her life in the house of God, among the people of God. Look at what it says. It says in verse 37 that she departed not from the temple. In other words, she spent her time in the house of God. She was right there in the house of God. The doors of the temple never opened unless dear sister Anna was right there. And you know, it's an amazing thing to me to see what happens sometime. And I would encourage you not to let this happen in your life. You see, as you get closer and closer to retirement, a kind of a nostalgia sets in. And you know, you begin to think about other days and other places and other circumstances. And if you're not very careful, you'll find yourself thinking, well, I would be happier if I were in other circumstances. I would be happier if I was back in another place. And so sometimes people come to the retirement years, and so they decide, well, what I'm going to do is I've been active in church all the years of my life, and so I'm going to just take a little break. Now, I've talked to folks that way. I've talked to folks who said, oh, preacher, man, I used to teach Sunday school. Man, I taught Sunday school for years and years and years. Preacher, I used to never miss. I was at just every time the door was open, I was right there at church. But you see, they're not now. They're not now. Now let me encourage you. Don't make the mistake of thinking you're going to find greater joy outside the house of God than you have found inside the house of God. Happiest years of your life are serving Jesus. If that's not true, then the Bible's not true. And we know the Bible is true, and the Scriptures teach that the greatest joy in all of life is to serve the Lord Jesus. And so don't make the mistake when you get to those declining years, those retirement years, of just taking off and being somewhere else instead of the house of God. Oh, no. Make up your mind that in the last years, you're going to be more faithful to the house of God than you've ever been in all of your life. Now, you may not always be able to come to God's house. There may be a time in your life when physically you won't be able to assemble. We've got members of our church tonight who, with all of their hearts, wish they could be right here in this building tonight. Why, they'd just give anything in this world if they could just be right here tonight. But you see, help will not permit them to do so. But as long as you've got your help, spend your last days in the house of God. Be faithful to God's house. Oh, what an encouragement you are. Some of the greatest encouragers to these pastors here tonight are the elderly saints who are so faithful in their attendance. And you know, I stand here sometimes on a Sunday and I watch some of God's sweet people coming in and some of them who can't walk quite as well as they used to walk, and some of them who are having a hard time really making it back and forth. And I, every time I see them, in my heart, I breathe a prayer on their behalf, and I thank the Lord for them. God bless you faithful saints who come sometimes even with pain, and you come with physical disabilities. God bless you faithful saints, and you're an encouragement. You're an encouragement to these young people. You show them what it means to live for Jesus. That it's not just something you do for a few years and you lay it aside. This business of living for Jesus, friend, is all the way. I want to serve Jesus all the way to the gates of glory. That's what I want to do. You can be faithful in the declining years. You can also be useful. I love that psalm over here, wonderful statement about aging. I'm not going to ask you to turn to it, but I'll read it for you. In Psalm 92, I like that. Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." Don't you like that? They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Isn't that great? Don't you like that? Listen, friends, you can still serve Jesus in old age. Did you know that Gladstone was the Prime Minister of England at age 83? Did you know that John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist denomination, was preaching many times every day at age 88, riding on a horse back and forth to his preaching assignments? Did you know that? Did you know that Michelangelo painted his Last Judgment at age 66? Oh, let me tell you what, friends. You can be very useful for the Lord in the latter years of your life. Oh, get you some gospel tracts and just scatter those gospel tracts all over the city of Jacksonville. Get you some addresses of people who are off in college and start writing them letters or get involved in some other kind of ministry. Do something and lead people to Jesus. You can win people to Jesus. Some of you live in retirement homes around here. There are a lot of those dear people in those retirement homes that are lost without God, and they're going to die and they're going to go out there into a Christless eternity if some of you don't tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, I'm not going to retire. I tell you what I'm going to do. Oh, I may retire from being a pastor. About 70, I'll hang it up. You folks will have to do something else. But I'm not going to retire from preaching. I'm going to just get retired. That's what I'm going to do, brother. And I'm going to keep at it as long as I keep my strength and as long as God gives me a mind, you see. The breadth of your life, live it in the house of God. But then I want to call your attention quickly, not only to the length of life and to the breadth of life, I want to talk about the depth of life. I want to talk about the depth of life. Because you see, God had made a wonderful promise to Anna, and it was the promise that she would see the redemption of Israel. She would see the Savior himself. And so it says in verse 38, she coming in at that instant, that is the very instant that Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake to him of all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You know what it means? It means that she had depth to her life. She had seen her Savior. By faith, she had claimed the coming of her Savior. And what she had seen by the eyes of faith, now she had seen by the eyes of sight. Dear friend, the thing you need to do if you're an elderly person and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior is to give your life to Him and put some depth to your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ, friends, your life is paper thin deep. You have no depth to your life until you are rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And then you know what she started doing? Everywhere she went, the Bible said she spake to him of all them that looked for him. Everywhere she went, she was telling people about Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful way to live. Well, a few years ago when I was in school, I was in a revival meeting with a friend of mine over in Alabama. He had a church in Alabama. He invited me to come over and preach a revival for him. Now, I remember one afternoon out in our soul winning visitation, he said, "We've got a girl home from college. She's spending the summer in our community. She's a college girl, and she's spending her summer with her grandparents. And she's lost. She's not saved." And he said, "I'd like for us to go over there." And he said, "You know, you're young and she's young." And he said, "I think you'd be able to relate to her. And I think you could probably, have an influence on her life because you're a young guy and she's a college girl. And I think probably you could lead her to the Lord." He had it all figured out, like we do. And so we went. I can just see the house now.
One of those one of those wood houses, no paint on it, just the plain old wood. And I remember we went into that home that hot summer afternoon. We went in there, and sure enough, there was this college girl, and there was her dear sweet grandmother. And so I started into my presentation of the gospel and how to be saved. And as I started in to how she could know Jesus as her Savior, she began to smile. And you know, it was one of those kind of smiles that you know something's up, you know, that she knows something that you don't know, one of those kind of smiles. And so I just kept on going, you know, I'm a little dumb, and so I kept on going for a little bit. And then she just started smiling a bit broader. And so I just stopped, and I said, and I called her name, I said, you know, you smile as if you know what I'm saying to you and as if you know something that I don't know. And she said, oh, yeah, preacher. She said, I really do. She said, because you see, preacher, there's no need for you to lead me to the Lord this afternoon. And then she looked over and she smiled and she said, because my grandmama led me to Jesus this morning. Whew, isn't that wonderful? And you know what? There's some of you grandmamas could come as close to leading your grandchildren to Jesus as anybody else in the world. I don't know what it is, but God has just given a special relationship between grandparents and those grandchildren. And there's just something about grandmama and granddaddy. Those children will just listen to you probably better than they'll listen to their own parents. And there's some of you who might could lead your own grandson or your own granddaughter to the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first is made.